Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lauren and Mean interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then the show's for you. Hi, TJ. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So my name's TJ Alexander. My pronouns are they, them. I am a writer whose debut novel is coming out this year, very soon. And I do my thing. I have an MA in publishing and I live in New York City.
What part of New York City do you live?
Way uptown. I live in Washington Heights. So I've been here for quite a while. I think 12 years now. Mm-hmm. And love it. I can't get enough of it.
I love this. Yeah, I used to go to Washington Heights to get my Dominican food. I'm Puerto Rican, but there's not a lot of Puerto Ricans who live in the New York City area, like in New York City. You think there is, but there isn't. It's mostly in the Bronx. So like I would just go to get like Dominican food, which was the closest thing I would find for Puerto Rican food in the Heights, you know?
Yeah, we have some amazing restaurants up here. Mm-hmm. I had an arepa today for lunch. I won't lie. That's a regular thing for me.
Yeah, I live in Jersey City when I lived in New York. So I lived 12 years in Jersey City and 2 years in Brooklyn. So I miss the food. The food is what I miss the most. And so in your book was like, I was just hungry for most of the book.
Good. I was hungry writing it. Yeah, I mean, I know that I can get a little indulgent in food descriptions, but like, I don't know, there's something so good and comforting about just, I don't know, describing food. I was like, man, I should really write a book about that. So I just went ahead and did.
What was your food experience? Are you like a foodie? Are you a home cook? Are you like...
I have a really weird background with food. I grew up in the restaurant business. My parents owned a restaurant and I worked pretty much every job you could work at a restaurant except actually cooking anything. I just never learned to cook until I was an adult and I realized like, oh, I'm gonna have to like feed myself now that I'm in charge of that. I learned to cook basically by watching television shows about cooking. You know, I was just like addicted to Food Network. I was just so into everything that Ina Garten does, Rachel Ray, all the greats from the golden age, you know? And I'm just, you know, I've always loved watching other people cook and that's just how I learned how to do it. So yeah, I am a home cook. I don't do anything super fancy, but I love watching people do things that are super fancy. So yeah, that's where I'm coming from.
And your main, one of the main characters is pastry chef. So pastry baking, any experience with that?
I actually got into baking very recently, like maybe within the last couple of years. I think, you know, Great British Bake Off was becoming like this, you know, mm-hmm. cult classic, even over here. And so I've been watching a lot of, you know, pastry chefs do their thing on like YouTube and stuff. And at the time I was working kind of a stressful desk job and I thought, you know, I really need something. I need a hobby where I'm going to be failing almost constantly. I didn't know that at the time. But then when I started, I was like, oh my gosh, this is hard. Like the first like four times I tried to make bread, it was just a huge disaster. But I stuck with it because one, it's a super cheap hobby, you know, like for the most part, like flour and eggs and sugar are, you know, not, if you mess up, you know, it's not the end of the world. And I think it was a good exercise in teaching me just how to be patient. You know, with cooking, you can kind of do your own thing and riff on it and make stuff up as you go along. But with baking, it's a little bit more structured, a little bit more like you have to pay attention to what you're doing. So I think for me, for someone with my personality, that was really helpful to practice.
I love this. Yeah, I used to bake and then I stopped baking and I'm sort of going back to, because I have to feed myself because I no longer have the abundance of takeout that I used to have in New York. So I had to recreate the meals that I don't have anymore. And so I, the one thing it's distressful, and I think you mentioned it's like, it's cheap, but it's great. Like, honestly, the ingredients are cheap. I'm like, it's just a structure because it's such a science. Like, you have to measure things. You cannot be like, oh, a pinch of this, a pinch of that. Like, you have to follow the recipe, you know?
Yeah. At first, that was very frustrating for me because that is not, you know, how my brain works at all. But I think it's a good skill to learn that, you know, even in writing, it's helped me like learn patience and learn to like take things kind of slower, you know, pay attention to what I'm doing, stuff like that. It's not the worst hobby someone could have, you know.
It is not. Yeah. And so also the other main character is a brewmaster, or, you know, is it a brewmaster?
I would say a home brewer.
Home brewer. So what was your experience researching home brewing methods?
Well, I've always been a fan of the alcohol. but my older brother actually has been a home brewer for many, many years. He got really, really into it, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. He has just a pretty impressive setup and a ton of knowledge. And every time we get together, it's like, we're going to visit X number of bars. We're going to try, you know, all these things that I've wanted you to try. He just gets so into it and so excited about it. And even though I don't understand most of the mechanics or the science behind it, I've never brewed my own batch. I have no idea how I would even try and do that in my apartment. But you know, I called him up when I was starting to think about like, well, what kind of hobby could Ray be doing that's like, you know, kitchen, like cooking adjacent, something that occurs, you know, in the kitchen that people would be interested in like hearing more about. And I knew from talking with my brother and hearing how excited he would get when he was talking about that hobby of his, I knew that like, oh, this is something that people, you know, could potentially get into. So, you know, I would call him up and say like, if you lived in a New York apartment and you wanted to brew beer, well, you know, what would be on the counter? What would my character have like on their kitchen counter? And then just for hours, he would just be like, well, first of all, you know, and we'd get into a whole thing. He was like, well, what kind of beer is your character brewing? So I had to, you know, it was like one of those personality tests for your characters that you fill out before you start writing, except it was a whole like brewing thing where he was like, I don't think they'd be into IPAs. And I was like, I agree. So yeah, that part was really fun actually. And I very much appreciate his collaboration on that.
I love this. So we've gone around the book, but tell us the elevator pitch of Chef's Kiss.
Right. So Chef's Kiss, it's my debut. It's a rom-com. And it is a story about a pastry chef, Simone, who is, I would say, a little uptight, a little type A, as all good pastry chefs, I think, are. And she's working at kind of like an old-fashioned cookbook publisher. They're very old school, you know, they put out a magazine, but it's all very like, you know, old-timey kind of food media. And but it's her dream job and she loves it. And when her company decides to pivot to video and forces her into more of a social media role, she starts realizing that she is no good at that part of her new job description. So she's really struggling with that. And then in comes Ray, who is the non-binary kitchen manager, who is, you know, polar opposite to her, very cheerful and outgoing and not uptight at all. And Ray accidentally finds some success in a viral video series about homebrewing. And as a result, they are forced to work together on some cooking show projects for their job. So that's the that's the setup. And then of course, you know, there's kissing. I don't think that's a spoiler.
No, there's kissing. Promise, there's kissing. Because I gotta wait. You made us wait. You know.
Yes, it is a very slow burn, and I almost felt kind of bad at certain points. You know, where I was like, man, they are really not gonna even like hold hands for quite a while, are they? And you know, I went a little bit back and forth on that because I know that there is some criticism out there for especially queer romances, you know, not being as sexy or spicy as a lot of straight romances get to enjoy. And, you know, I do agree that we need more, you know, we need more smut. I'm a fan of it in every flavor. But for this story, just the way that the characters and the plot take shape, you know, I think once you start reading it, you'll see, the readers will see that there really was no other way for these two to get together except very, very slowly, with a lot of mutual pining and miscommunications.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it worked. It's just like, I was waiting for it. And then I was like, and then it delivered. Like at the end, it delivered everything that I wanted. I just had to wait for it.
You know? Yeah. Well, I do love making people wait, I guess. I think a little emotional edging, I don't know if that's the right word for it, is good once in a while.
Yeah, and I love all the characters. I love the research in some ways that it felt, because you talked about SEO, you talked about videos, like what works, what doesn't work in the marketing world, beyond just talking about food and the food description. So it felt like it was like a well-researched book that I was immersed in this world.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I actually worked in the social media world for quite a few years, in another lifetime. That was my career. I had a real love-hate relationship with it, very similar to the way the characters in the book sort of approach it. You know, Simone really hates it and is really, you know, wary of social media in general. And Ray is kind of just a natural and wants to, you know, show off and talk to people. So I think that those two, like in me, there's that competition about social media and SEO and all that stuff. So yeah, I'm glad it sounded well researched, because that is not something I have done in a very long time.
Yeah, because it was like, I'm involved in this. I have this podcast, I have this platform. And so, and I'm like immersed into trying to figure out what works, what doesn't work, and all the logistics. And it's like the same thing. I have the same love-hate relationship. I'm like, you know, what works, it's sometimes it's so fickle. Like, you don't know what the audience will work. And you're like, oh, this shit works. And then the other times, like, I did all the research and this is what people are doing and these are the trends. And then it's like flops. And that's part of the process of just throwing spaghetti to the wall and see which one sticks.
Yeah, absolutely. The most annoying thing about working in social media was like, you do everything right and you get nothing back. And then sometimes like the weirdest, most random, like you didn't even think about it. You just sent out a tweet and it's like the most, you know, successful, popular thing you've ever done. And which is very similar to what happens with Ray, who's not even trying to be good at this and just ends up being a success anyway. That's just how it be sometimes.
Yeah. So what are you working next?
Well, Chef's Kiss was part of a 2-book deal with Atria, which I'm very, very excited about. I don't know how much I'm allowed to say about what's coming next, but I can say that it is going to be in a similar vein, food related, a foodie rom-com. And it is going to be, hopefully, if you enjoyed Chef's Kiss, you will hopefully very much enjoy the next step that happens.
I love this. Yes. Just, you have me a foodie rom-com.
So. Yay. Excellent.
I love this. All right. So what are you currently reading?
So I think we can all agree right now is a weird time, weird time in general. I'm finding myself kind of bouncing around on books. Like to be completely honest, what's currently on my bedside table that I'm reading like a couple of chapters every night just to like calm down and relax is old P.G. Wodehouse novels. Mm-hmm. He was, you know, this is a deep cut if you don't know Wodehouse. He's an old-timey British humorist. He was writing through the 30s and 40s up through the 70s. And he just writes these kind of silly farcical stories about you know, British nobility and dinner parties and people staying at country estates, and it's just, you know, it's a bomb to my soul every time I read it. It's amazing. I was reading he wrote a book called Joy in the Morning, which I've been rereading recently, and he wrote it while he was interned in a Nazi prison camp during World War II. It's one of the funniest books I've ever read. And I was like, man, you know, you're really setting the bar high here. How to produce funny material when you're under stress, when you're under pressure. Because, you know, there are some days where I'm sitting down at my laptop and I'm thinking, okay, it's time to write some jokes. And I do not feel very funny at all. But yeah, currently, that is what is getting me through this week, at least.
That sounds good. And so do you have any books to recommend? That it can be anything.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Actually, over the last couple of years, I found myself reading a ton of YA, which I think for me isn't usual. Like, I don't think I've read much YA lately in general, except for as I was working on Chef's Kiss and as I was doing kind of like industry research into, you know, how am I going to get this book made into a real book? Mm-hmm. I found myself reading a lot of YA because there are just so many authors in that space right now who are doing these amazing queer stories and mm-hmm. love stories that I, you know, I felt I needed to check out. So I have to say that a book I keep thinking of every once in a while, for sure, Victoria Lee's A Lesson in Vengeance, which is this sort of, it's set in a girls' school, like a boarding school, and it's very creepy. It's like this psychodrama murder mystery. I loved it. It was a morally gray heroine, which I just love women who are doing bad stuff. I don't know. And you know, everything that she did, I was like, I support her 100%. Like every mistake she's making, every illegal thing that she might want to do, I'm just like, yeah, do it, girl. So I love that. I really want to read more of Victoria Lee's stuff. Then for contemporary, a more contemporary feel, mm-hmm. I found myself coming back to Can't Take That Away by Stephen Salvatore. I think it's Salvatore. It might be Salvatore. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing it. But that's a contemporary YA story about a teen in high school who is genderqueer and who is trying to, you know, live with that in a upstate New York high school. I love that book because I don't think it's very easy to make a queer adult feel any affection for being a teen. Like, I think just very generally, at least for me, looking back on those years, is like, oh, let's not do that. But this book, like, you know, actually made me feel like, oh, wow, like, you know, the teenage years, the hope, the, you know, friendships. It was just a beautiful book. It just had so much love and hope in it. So I love that book. And I also keep telling all my friends to read Iron Widow. I'm sure I am not the first person on this podcast or to tell you to read Iron Widow. But that's another book that I just keep thinking back to and going, God, that book is so badass. And that heroine was just like, I don't know if I can curse on this podcast. I'm so sorry. I can't. Okay. Yeah. She was just fucking shit up. I love a girl who's doing bad things. So, yeah. I love that. Those were the books that I keep recommending people over the last few months, for sure.
Well, thank you for giving us morally gray and bad things. You know, people doing bad things. Like, that sounds good. That sounds like up my alley.
It's fun. It's just, it's so much fun to see somebody doing what you fantasize, you know, in your heart of hearts, getting to do once in a while.
I have to tell you, I've come to fall in love with serial killer romance. There's something to be said about a serial killer who happens to fall in love and get smudged.
I have never read one of those, but I didn't even know they existed. But now that I know, I want to know all about it.
So, the one that I can tell you, it's in Kindle Unlimited. It's 5 novellas. They're completely addictive. It's Mindfuck series. Stabby, that's the name of the author.
Ah, okay. I love that.
And she's a female serial killer who happens to fall in love with her FBI profiler.
What? I'm looking it up right now.
It is a romance. So there it works. Like, it's a romance. So I can tell you there's something, but you don't know how the fuck it's gonna work, you know? It's so good. Every end of the novella ends with a cliffhanger. So you just want to keep reading them over and over and over. It's 100 pages each of the book. So they're like, it's a 500 page book, but it's like it's so addictive that you just keep reading more and more.
That sounds perfect. That sounds, you know, I love reading books where I'm like, I could never have written that book, but I'm so glad somebody did.
Yeah. So I would say, like, that's like, if you're looking for a serial killer, you're like, okay, like, you know, they should fall in love too.
Why not? A treat. She should be able to murder somebody and fall in love as a treat.
So that's like my favorite recommendation, I would say. Like, it's just like, I wouldn't expect it, and I'm like, and it worked. So tell us where you can find you online.
I am on Twitter at TJ Alexander NYC. I'm on Instagram, same place, name TJ Alexander NYC. I have a newsletter if people want to check that out. It's at tjalexander.com, and that's pretty much it. I cannot be forced onto TikTok. I mean, no one's gonna do it. No one's trying to do it. Like, everyone's being very nice to me, but I know in my heart that I just can't do one more thing.
Understandable. So thank you, TJ, for being on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. Today's episode's partner is Libre FM. If you're an audiobook listener, then you should add Libre FM as your go-to source for paid audiobooks. Libre FM makes it possible for you to buy audiobooks through your local bookstore. Memberships start at $14.95, and they also have great sales for romance audiobooks each month for $3.99, thanks to the Kiss Club. To sign up for LibroFM, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/LibroFM. You will receive a free audiobook when you sign up for a monthly subscription. If you purchase a subscription through our link, you will be supporting the podcast at no cost to you. The What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more, or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.